Magic,
and the world of illusion.
Magic TV
and Craig Petty proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
Hey guys, welcome back to Magic TV. My name's Craig. It is 9 o'clock, which means it's time for a Talk Magic. Now today, I'm going to be speaking to somebody that there's a very good chance that you don't know who this person is. And that's one thing that I've always liked to do on Magic TV, not just interview the biggest stars in magic, but interview people that are out there doing the job, getting it done, out there performing and performing a lot. And that's who I'm going to be speaking to today. This person's story is very inspirational. I've known him personally for a few years now. He's not been in magic for that long, but he makes his full-time living performing magic and supports a family performing magic. And that's the dream for a lot of people out there. And over the last few years, he's also dabbled in so many different areas when it comes to magic. He's created magic. He does kid shows, he does close-up, he does stage, he does absolutely everything. So it's a very inspirational story, and a lot of people who are in the position that this person was a few years ago will really benefit from listening to what he's got to say, who he is, and understanding his journey. I am very, very excited to bring to you today the latest episode of Talk Magic, the one and only Thomas Maloney. How are you doing, Thomas?
I'm all right. A little bit tired, but I'm all right. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I for those people that don't know, Thomas works with me, and I took him to an illusion show last night. We got back about 2 o'clock in the morning, which is par for the course with illusion shows. And yep. You were going along to watch and see how it all works and what the show looks like and, you know, how different it is to everything else. We can talk about that a little bit later on, but. I'm glad, even though you're tired, you were able to jump on this call. So thanks.
It's cool. I'm tired, but I'm always tired. So this is normal. So I have kids.
Like I said, you have a very inspirational story. I think there's a lot of people that are going to be listening to this interview that are in a similar situation to how you were a few years ago. And I want to delve into it. I want to talk to you about everything, your journey into magic, your journey through magic, what you've done, the highs, the lows, the mistakes, the successes. We're going to talk about everything because you're in a great place right now. We were speaking yesterday.
Yeah.
It's not always the easiest route to get there. And I want to hear about everything. The other thing that I think is quite inspirational about you, Thomas, is, and we're going to talk about this right now, but you got into magic quite a lot later. A lot of people that I speak to on Talk Magic, they tell me that they got into magic, they came out the womb holding a pack of cards, or, you know, they had an uncle pull a coin from behind their ear when they were 2 years old and the bug bit. But that wasn't you. So let's start at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your journey into magic and your, more importantly, your origin story. So when did you find magic?
I've always liked magic. I've always liked watching magic. When I was a kid, when I was young, got a Paul Daniels magic set, opened it, realized the magic wand didn't work, and kicked it under the bed. And then that kind of ended magic for me because I was like, what? It's not real. but I still enjoyed watching magic, and then originally I kind of got back into magic when I wanted to quit smoking, and it was just to fiddle with cards, and that kind of worked for about a year, and then I put the cards back down. That's basically it. I got a Paul Daniels magic set, it didn't work, five years ago came magic came back, and I just started. I worked in, at the time I worked in a day center where I had to entertain elderly people that came from 9 to 5, 5 days a week. I used to come to this day center. I used to look after them. And I used to entertain them, and I just used to, I'll learn one card trick, then I'll learn another card trick. It's just very card heavy. It's where I practice my card under watch. And then, so I really enjoyed performing magic to these elderly people. And then lockdown happened. The day centre got shut. I got redeployed by my local council to somewhere else. Got into a job I absolutely hated. And I was like, I really like this magic stuff. And then what's the best time to turn it into a career? You know, I've got all this free time. So I use this free time to master free tricks. Which
Hang on.
Yeah.
So you decided to go full-time pro in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. There's logic behind it. I anticipated, it sounds really bad, but I anticipated a lot of magicians were going to quit magic.
Well, they did. You were there.
Because, you know, they were losing their careers. So, and I thought there's a lot of weddings that are going to be backlogged. So I decided as soon as the lockdown was lifted, I was going to hit the wedding market because there'd be loads of weddings all wanting a magician.
So hang on. I don't want to gloss over all of this because this is fascinating. So you were working in a daycare center. You hadn't really done magic for years. It was the little thing that you picked up here and there, but not really anything. And then you got this job entertaining elderly, and you thought, you know what? One way to entertain them is magic. You learned a couple of cards.
Just self-working card tricks.
you perform these tricks to the elderly people. Lockdown hit. You quit your job because you couldn't do that anymore. And then you made a plan to not just go full time, but take over the wedding market.
Yeah. There's a little bit more to that as well. Because my wife was wearing, we were in it all right. I said to my wife, give me a year. Give me a year, and in a year's time, I'll be earning minimum wage. What's the worst that can happen? I go back to another minimum wage job. That was my idea. So I made the lockdown period. There was three tricks. There was Chicago opener, which I still do today. Professor's nightmare and chop cup, stand-up chop cup routine. And I thought, I'll master these three tricks. I'll build a website. I'll fake it till you make it on the website. A lot of faking it on the website. And then I just started getting inquiries.
And this is still in lockdown. This is still in lockdown.
Still in lockdown because, you know, people in the wedding market still wanted something to plan for and hope for. I kind of got that a little bit. But I also did a lot of charity events during lockdown. I thought I needed flight time. So it came to the point where you were allowed out in open spaces and stuff. I've got a local park down the road that's quite touristy. So every day I was just hitting that local park, just doing the whole David Blaine thing. Do you want to see some magic? Do you want to see some magic? Do you want to see some magic? When it became a bit more allowed to perform in venues, my wife works at a bistro. So I was in there performing magic. Any chance I got, I was performing magic. And one tip I got was, perform magic to people that own shops because they want you to be in there to buy something. Obviously, I used to buy something, but if you're buying something, show them a trick. If you're doing something, you know. So I've just got
this was kind of going down the route of, hey, flight time, the more I do, the better.
Yeah, I needed to master these three tricks.
Kind of interesting. So, where did you get this three-trick concept from? That, you know, you keep saying that over and over again. I got my three tricks. So your plan was to go to the wedding industry or the wedding market with three tricks.
I don't know if I got it from anywhere.
That's not a bad thing. I'm just really curious as to, because this is a very unique way to get into magic.
Yeah.
Because this all happened during the pandemic, you didn't really have a magic club to go to. You didn't really have a mentor to go to. You didn't really have much advice. This is something that you've come up with completely off your own back at this point.
So yeah, I did.
Interesting that you made all these choices.
I did join a local magic club, which was just Zoom meetings, and I did get a couple of friends that, you know, helped me, gave me some advice and that sort of thing. But yeah, no, I just I thought, oh, I know where I got it from. I know where I got it from. Michael O'Brien, he had a PDF booklet that's free for everybody. A lot of it's American, but it does translate here. And he says you need to build your product, and your first product you need to build is a close fact. Get your free trade. I'm sure that's where it's from. So, but that's more like where it's come from. So I thought I'd get three tricks, three diverse tricks, a rope trick, a cup trick, and a car trick. I did a So I did Chicago. So yeah, so I got them, mastered them, went to a wedding, and no matter how much I practiced, the moment, even at I was fine at charity gigs because I felt like I had nothing to lose because I was just it was cutting my teeth anyway. Soon as I got my first wedding, that's when, wow, it was like performing the trick for the first time because it's on the line. Yeah, kind of felt like I was more important, which not really that important at a wedding. It's the balloons are more important than me. So, but yeah, no. So, and then all of a sudden, I realized this free trick just isn't enough because I just sped through them so fast. So fast, and I was like, well, and then I just started jazzing with my deck of cards and started doing the stuff that I used to do in the care home. And then it quickly dawned on me in this first wedding gig that I had when I was like, I'm here just to make people laugh and have a good time with them. And then I quickly realized it that the magic is just like 20% of it. It's about me going up to and getting people talking, getting people happy, becoming the photographer's best friend so they can take photographs. So then that was my first wedding done, which if you ever go on my website, thomasmaloney.co.uk, them photographs are from my first ever wedding that I did, and they're still my best photographs. There's like a group of guys, a bloke in an orange suit going, with a card. It's I can't get out. It's the best photograph I've ever had. It's but but yeah, no. It's so I hit the wedding market, and then it went really, really well for a little bit, but then the magicians started getting back into work. So then it
Well,
started.
before we get to that point, because I want to
Yeah.
get to that point,
Yeah.
where were you getting work from? You say you built a website. Did you teach yourself to build websites?
Yeah, I built my I built I did everything for free. I think my website, if you look, if anybody wants to look at my website literally cost me for my name, thomasmaloney.co.uk. Everything else was just built for free. During lockdown, I just leveled up, just went on a lot of tutorials. There's a I use Google Sites, which is a free online thing. Anybody can build a site. It's very simple once you get your head around it. So yeah, my website only cost me like $5.99 just to get my domain, and then that was it. And I've never really, I'm just paying, and then I just paid to have to keep the domain. So yeah, so yeah, no, I just built. I feel like you get a lot of downtime. Well, there is apart from doing tricks, build your own website. Learn how to do it because it's a lot easier if you can do it yourself from like the bare bones. Obviously, one day when I'm like, got too many gigs that I might have to get someone to do it for me, but at the moment I was doing it myself, and it's come second nature to me now. It's easy for me to tweak, it's easy for me to, but yeah, I built my own website. When I first started, I didn't even have a mobile phone, so when people were ringing me, they were going through to my wife, so my wife was acting like, oh yeah, I'm his receptionist. And I've actually got it up here. Before I started working for you, I had a paper diary. I had a paper diary. There's no way I could use a paper diary now. But
That's
yeah,
okay.
no. But then it all started to die down a bit. It's like,
Before the dying down thing, I've got one more question.
yeah.
Where were you getting the work initially? Because
Oh,
obviously,
where's getting the work?
got the work.
I
Well,
was
because
spamming.
the thing is, for people that don't know,
Yeah.
having a website doesn't mean anything.
No,
Because if
it
you've
didn't.
got a website, even if you've got the best website in the world,
Yeah.
unless it's optimized, it's like having the most amazing shop in the world with a wonderful shop front, but it's
Yeah.
in the middle of a desert. Like no one is ever going to be able to find it.
Yeah, and
And
I realized that.
I know that you weren't doing SEO,
Yeah.
you weren't doing pay-per-click. So how are
No.
you getting gigs, Thomas?
I just went on Facebook because I didn't know anything about this sort of thing. So I went on Facebook. I added, say, like there was Matlock wedding suppliers group page, bride suppliers, everything in Matlock. Then I worked my way out, and then I ended up getting the whole of England. And I had a post, and every day I'd post on all. It'd take forever, so I'd post on about 150 groups with this advert, but make the adverts different every day, which works, but very short term. Like 6 months is short term. Which that's where people were finding me, coming to my website. And then once people came to my website, I'd then, you know, get work off the back of going to a wedding. Because then my job is, when I was at a wedding, is I need to get another gig out of this wedding. That you know, that's like first priority is make sure the bride and groom are getting what they want. The second is I need to find that customer. So that was my next job. Which works, but only if you do it right. Only if you do it right, because I'm just a magician. I'm not Thomas Maloney to anybody else. I'm the person that made people smile. And if they go home and go, oh, we should get a magician, and then they look it up, they're going to go to Slightly Unusual. So just basically spamming, which is a short-term fix. You know, it worked, but then Facebook get a bit, hang on, this guy's spamming a lot, and then you start getting your page restricted, start getting this. But to start off with, it got me a bit of work. I don't know if it still works now. I do it occasionally now. Still do it occasionally now because it's like a bad habit. But I was just spamming all the, it's spamming, but nice. You know, it was a nice bit. It was content that brides were wanting to see. You know, okay. Photographs and links to my page. Yeah, that's where my inquiries were coming from.
So you've got to a point where you've not been really properly doing magic for very long.
No.
You've probably been doing it for about a year, if that.
Yeah.
You've got a website, you're going out there, you're doing weddings, you're getting yourself wedding bookings.
Yeah.
You've got your three tricks that you do when you go out there. You've probably expanded the repertoire a little bit now.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
But so... You then said that things started going a bit Pete Tong. What happened?
It's my formula just wasn't working. You know, the Facebook stopped working to get it in. And the theory behind it is there wasn't that backlog of weddings anymore. There wasn't that backlog of weddings, and there was a more. This is only a theory. More magicians were coming back to work. A lot better magicians and a lot less weddings. So I got that initial, you know, people got their insurance money, they can get a wedding, you know, that sort of thing. So it just started dying down, and then I was like, well, what can I do? And it came to the point where I promised my wife in a year's time that I'd be earning minimum wage again. So I was like, oh, how can I do this? So I started looking on the internet, googling, like everybody does. You know, you go on the internet and you type in wedding magician or magician, and you kept coming up. So I was like, oh, this guy keeps coming up. And I was like, and I'm lazy in a practical way, so I felt like, oh, I can't beat him, I should really join him. How do I join him? And I think in the early stages, I must have sent you a message, like an email. Can I work for Slightly Unusual? And that didn't happen. And then I went, and then I thought, I'll grab you at Blackpool.
This is really interesting, because I must get
about
50 people a week asking to join Slightly Unusual.
I get about 50 people a week asking me how to join Slightly Unusual as well. So I had to turn around to my wife and say, you know, at the time, going to Blackpool was expensive for me. So I says I want to go to Blackpool. I've been speaking to Michael O'Brien, so he was going, because on the back of his advice and I used his chop cut with him, we kind of got a bit of an online friendship going. So I decided I'm going to go to Blackpool. I'm going to collar you, and I'm going to try and work for you.
So this would be Blackpool 2022, the first Blackpool after the pandemic.
Yeah.
Because it ran in 2020.
Yeah.
And then obviously they had the virtual one in 2021. So this would be 2022.
The first everyone
the first
back.
One when it came back, and everyone was a bit trepidatious and everyone was still wearing masks, that
the first time. Yeah, it was the first time I'd ever been as well. So to me, it was packed. It was busy. And I was like, oh, it's not as busy as it used to be. And I'm like, when this year, I'm like, yeah, you're right. That time wasn't that as busy. But I loved it. So I think the first time I collared you, you was in the cafe bit in the Spanish bar.
I remember being busy that year because that was when Ryland was doing Britain's Got Talent and Blackpool had him doing his Britain. Nobody knew at that point.
Yeah.
Ryland doing his Britain's Got Talent audition act on the gala show.
Yeah.
So I was running around backstage at the gala show helping with that. And
yeah.
Although I didn't have my own booth, I think I was on the Alakazam booth.
Yeah, I remember seeing you on the Alakazam booth, and it was the first time I went to Blackpool as well, so I felt really bloody starstruck as well. Like, I've seen all these people that, to me, I'd only ever seen on a TV screen. You know, and I was showing my wife, sending him the photos. Look, that's Stephen Mulhern. Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, look, this is such and such. Look, this is Andy Nyman. And like, Holly's a bit like, who are these people? And I'm like, what? But the first person I met was actually Ian Rowland, which I ended up getting, became really good friends. He helped me. He helped me with my magic circle as well, which is quite cool. But yeah, so, I was in, I seen you in that cafe. You were busy. Like, I think, I remember saying, just complimenting you. I just thought, you know, I've been watching your things, you know, your thing. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have got into doing this a bit. Do you know? And then he was like, I definitely want to talk business, but my wife's just turned up at the hotel. I'll catch you later, which, fair enough. So I was a bit like, need to collar him again. The conversation was a bit better than that. I'm just a bit rubbish at explaining it. So then during that period of time, I bumped into Kieran, who worked for you.
He still does.
And he said, the way to Craig's heart is kids' parties.
Parties. In a way,
yeah.
He's right. Well, he is right. The thing is, for people that don't know, because people might not know, I run a couple of different entertainment companies. I run one called Slightly Unusual, which is close-up magic, weddings, illusion shows, cabaret shows, holiday parks, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then I run another company called Nonstop Kids Entertainment, which runs kids' parties literally all over the UK. And although there are some people in Slightly Unusual that don't work for Nonstop Kids, normally anybody who works in Slightly Unusual also works in Nonstop Kids. And Nonstop Kids is a bigger company by far. Not that Slightly Unusual small by any stretch of the imagination, it's not.
Right.
But I think we're Nonstop Kids does about 15,000 parties a year. Slightly does about 3,500 events a year. So Nonstop Kids is about five times bigger.
Well, yeah, when you first took me on, you said that with Nonstop Kids, you were having to turn away 30 bookings a day. And at the time, I was like, oh, this guy must be making it up. But he's not. He's really not. So, yeah, that was like a, which kind of, the work's there. The work's there if you want it. So, so Kieran kind of got me introduced to you properly again because there was that, like, connection. And then I just thought it was all too good to be true. You were saying, yeah, I can get you work. I can get you work. And I thought, this guy being serious? Is he just saying this to, like, brush me off? Because he's obviously getting a lot of people like me coming up to him, you know, wanting to work for him. And then I think I just kind of became his shadow for a little bit over you and Ben Williams. Ben Williams, I got to meet Ben Williams, who's a great guy as well. Then after Blackpool, because you says, email the office when you get home. I think you were going to Penguin or you were going somewhere where he says, I'm going to be gone for a fortnight, but I'll email the office, I'll get back to you. I emailed the office and I didn't hear anything. I was like, oh no, it was all crap. But then I ended up going for my magic circle exam. Oh, that was the other thing I did in Blackpool. I thought, well, I mean, I'll sign up for the magic circle with my free tricks. which, yeah, that worked. And it did. So just stick to what you're good at. So, there were some wires crossed. For some reason, Sarah thought I didn't drive, which is a big, like, ugh, you don't drive. And I don't know how that wires got crossed, but then we ended up talking in Blackpool at the Magic Circle, because you was doing your first, you were doing your first lecture at the Blackpool Magic Circle in ages. So it was quite a good buzz in the room. So I collared you again and went, whoa, you know, where's my phone call? And you, at that point you went, here's my telephone number, give me a call tomorrow night. And I was like, okay. So I gave you a call. And literally, I think we're on the phone for about like 3 hours, which to me at the time was a bit of a, wow, you know, this is serious. This is getting there. I was getting a bit nervous. And then you're like, need you in the office tomorrow morning. I'm like, oh, whoa, where's the office? And this was all happening at like early hours of the morning, these conversations and chats and emails. And you went, you need to get these paperwork for that, get in the office tomorrow morning. Go in the office the next day. Literally had to figure out childcare. I was like, I'm not letting this opportunity go, because like, I'll be basically a stay-at-home dad, casting my kids off, getting to you for 9 o'clock, I think. Can't remember what time it was, but I was like, it was like a mad panic in the morning. Got to you, missed breakfast, got to you, and then you just taught me a kids show. You just taught me a kids show in about, it was like a day's work. You taught me a kids show, and then you got you got Rachel, who's an awesome kids entertainer. You went, okay, you're gonna go shadow her. You're gonna go to Drayton Manor, and you're just gonna go watch and get involved. I went there, and I was like, you know, I just in the space of like the night before, all of a sudden, I'm at a paid kids gig, and basically, you know, and that was it. And then I learned the kids show, started doing kids shows, you know. And I thought, you know, keep doing kids shows, keep pestering the office, keep being relevant in the office, you know, pop into the office just for no reason whatsoever, apart from to bring donuts and all this sort of stuff. And then, yeah, just the more the gigs came. And I opened up my radar. I don't restrict myself where I go. I'll go to Edinburgh. Do you know what I mean? You point, I'll go. Do you know what I mean? So I think that's what's, if anybody ever wants to work for a company like Saturday Unusual Nonstop Kids, just, you need to be the easiest person ever. You need to be, they need to go, oh, God, it literally needs to be like, got this, go. Do you know what I mean? And that's where you got to go. And I think that's why I started getting more and more successful within the kids' entertainment and Slightly Unusual, is because, you know, I went and did it. You know, I think once set the first Slightly Unusual gig I ended up getting off of you was in Bristol. It's literally, it's like, oh, I've got a gig in Bristol this evening. I think you'd hit your leg or something. I don't know what happened, but you'd hit your leg or something. You need to go there. Don't need to go there, but here it is. It's such and such. It's in Bristol. So literally I had to look at watch and go, well, I need to set off like 20 minutes ago. So I went, yeah, I've done it, I'll go do it. And I went and did it. And yeah, that was my first Slightly Unusual. And yeah, and it's like, just the harder you work for someone, the harder they work back, I find. And that's kind of how it worked with Slightly Unusual and Nonstop, because you're there for me, I'm there for you. And yeah, I'm babbling a bit. So
no, you know, it's fascinating. Yeah. And we're going to continue to talk about that. But
yeah,
when you first started, or when I first met you, I felt like you gravitated more towards mentalism.
Yeah.
And now you don't. I was watching close up last night, and although you were performing Flux, there wasn't really much mentalism at all. It was more magic based. So my question is,
because
this is interesting, because people talk about, I want to transition into mentalism, but I've never seen anyone transition from mentalism into magic. Was that because you started doing kids parties? Was that, like, what was the reason for moving from one genre of the performance to the other?
I don't know, actually. That's a good question. I got into mentalism when I started making money. at Magic because it was gadgets you can't afford as a hobbyist. So I was buying these amazing gadgets, basically instant. People that use the sort of things that I was doing in mentalism, the electronics and that sort of thing, you know, the impression pads, in the right hands, in the right environment, they're absolutely amazing. But for a drawing duplication, for, you know, for this. And I literally thought, I can afford this. Now I'm going to get the best of the best of the best. And then my, you know, my actual magic suffered. So it was kind of just that, really. You know, it was like, oh, wow. I can tell you what picture you've drawn and I can be at the other side of the room. Nobody cares. If you go into the other side of the room, there's what? You know? But no, and it's also that it lost the entertainment value. I liked entertaining. When I originally got into magic, it was in a day center for elderly people and making them happy, making them laugh. You know, a lot of it was the card trick, but laughing around the card trick, doing it, having fun with them. And I missed doing that. And so now, when I go up to it, my job is trying to get everybody laughing, everybody having fun. You know what I mean? The magic comes second. You know what I mean? I'm there to get a good smiley face for the photographer. That's my job. No matter what any magician thinks when they go to a wedding, the thing that the bride wants is smiley faces on photographs. Do you know what I mean? Because I always say this, and this is how I feel about it with me. Nobody's ever going to, you're always going to have a good wedding. Because all your spectators and your spectators you're performing for, they're never going to turn up to the bride, go up to the bride and groom and go, wedding were great. Magician was shit, though. Sorry for ruining your day. See you later. You know, they're never going to say that. But so don't have to worry about that. You have to worry about the photographs because that's what the bride's going to see. Oh, that look at that. Look how happy they are. Oh, they've got a playing card in their hand. They must have done a good magic trick. That's what the spectator wants to see. So that's what the booker wants to see. They want to see everybody having a good time. You know?
Great. Chris Dugdale calls this the snapshot moment. He says you have to be aware that every second that you're performing could potentially be a moment that's been photographed. So you have to think about everything that you do to make sure it comes across well on a photo.
Yeah, that's it. You know, you've got to like cue their moments. You know, it's that they're not, you know, you can't leave it to chance. You've got to give them moments. You know what I mean? I kind of focus a lot of my magic around that. I'm not actually doing the magic. It's actually the spectators that's doing the magic. You know, I've been by Chicago Opener around that. I've been Flux around that. I've been my Ambitious Card. And basically, most of the stuff I do, yeah, I'm doing all the moves. The spectator's doing it with their magic words and their magic gesture. Yeah. So then I can go, give them a massive round of applause, and then everybody's clapping for them, but the book is seeing this massive table clapping and cheering. Do you know what I mean? It's really crafty, especially with kids. The kids are great. You know what I mean?
So I was going to ask that question. You kind of got into a position where, you know, you were struggling for work, you came and worked for me, you were kind of forced into doing kids' parties. Now, I do tend to find that within the industry, a lot of close-up magicians look down on kids' entertainers and they go, oh, I wouldn't be a kids' entertainer. I'm a real magician. I perform at kids' shows all the time, you know, and I don't feel that way at all. I think that, personally, learning how to be a kids' entertainer makes you a better close-up magician, makes you a better stage magician. Yeah. But somebody who kind of got put into doing kids gigs without even having that as a goal or an agenda item or anything. How do you, and to be clear, and we'll talk about this a little bit later on, you probably, you know, you do a really well out of non-kids gigs now. So you probably wouldn't need to do the kids gigs, but like what's your viewpoint on magicians doing kids shows?
They need to do it. I don't understand why they don't do it. Especially if you're going to a wet, like, you know, you need to know how to perform to children. You need to know how to perform to children, you know, young and all of them, you know, you're getting booked to entertain. I feel like it's really rude. You know, it's like, if you're getting booked, you know, over 18s only, what's that about? What is that about? Do you know what I mean? And I'll get your gig instead. Do you know what I mean? And kids are fun to perform for. Do you know what I mean? It's, they keep you on your toes. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, my formula is make the kids a little star. And then you've got all them photographs. You've got all... If you ever go on my reviews, it always goes, oh, he's a fantastic magician. Great with kids. Great with the children. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, that's what people want to see anyway. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But people that don't want... People that don't do kids shows or don't want to do kids shows... Yeah, you know, it's all right, you know, but don't moan that you've not got any work. don't moan if you're boring. Do you know what I mean? Because it adds character to you. One thing that happened was when I first did my Magic Circle exam, when you was there, that time I failed it. And with a little bit of help from Ian Rowland, but the biggest help was in 6 months' time, I was going to go back and do it again. I'd had 6 months of kids' parties behind me, then I passed it.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So, and that was because the criticisms that I had in my circle exam is like, kept turning my back to the audience, kept forgetting about the audience. 6 months the kids show, so you're not going to forget about your audience, which gave me more of a stage presence, more of an interaction. You know, just I feel like the 6 months of kids shows, that's what got me to pass my Magic Circle exam. But yeah, no, it's a kids shows. I love kids shows, you know, this is great, you know. I think it helps that I have children anyway, but so I'm not scared of children. You know, it's my kids shows are really dry anyway. Do you know what I mean? I come across the way I perform. I'm not Mr. Tumble. I'm there in the jeans and a t-shirt doing classics of magic, which fool the adults,
mm-hmm.
you know. What's that dot one what I do? You know, with the
dog's neck.
That fools adults. Do you know what I mean? That fools adults. You know, you do jokes that go over the kids' heads because you've got to impress the adults because they're the ones that are going to be booking you. So they're the ones that are going to be ringing up non-stop kids. So you got to, you know, I have a lot of lines like, you know, I have a lot of lines that, you know, go over the kids' head but entertain the kids. But the adults love it, you know. When you do a kids show, when I do a kids show anyway, the adults are there. They're at the back of the room. So you're doing a family show in my eyes anyway. So, but also you've got a fantastic formula. You know, the kids show, the standard kids show you give every one of your kids entertainers is idiot proof. If you perform it the way you teached it me, it can't go wrong because there's so many fail safes with it. You know, the look no see, the being the, you know, being the crap magician, do you know what I mean? So if it does go wrong, or kids are, you're the crap magician anyway. Do you know what I mean? It's great. I love it. But yeah, I love kids shows. And then, it's great. I've started doing Vanishing Ball, which is cool. So
they love that. That was amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's kind of a really interesting story up until this point. You got into magic during lockdown, started doing wedding gigs, and then eventually, you know, the work dropped off and you start working with Slightly Unusual and Nonstop Kids.
Yeah.
It would have been very easy to rest on your laurels because for those people that don't work for me, you can get a lot of work. Like
you'll,
you know, like a ridiculous amount to the point that you don't need your own gigs if you don't want them. And there's a lot of people that work for those that don't get their own gigs. Now, you could have rested on your laurels, but you're not that sort of guy. You're very, very ambitious and carried on. And let's talk about a couple of things that you tried. Like, should we talk about Genuine Magic?
Yeah. Genuine Magic was all right. Well, originally it started off was I've got a friend, a little leather shop in Matlock, which is great. And I went to him and went, oh, I've got this really naff prop. Could you make it out of leather and make it better? I'm like, yeah, easy. And then it made me another one, and then, you know, made some bits and bobs. And then he says, like, oh, would your magic friends be interested in buying any of this stuff? Because to him, it's like, this costs me nothing. But on the magic market, everything's really expensive. And I can do it as better quality. And I'm like, all right, then. I'll test the water, which I did. So then I came up with an out to lunch pad, came up with a peak wallet. Did some like packet trick holders. And basically the way it worked was whatever my leather guy wanted, I doubled and added postage and sent it out. That's the way it worked. So I was able to keep the price quite low. But I hate customers. I hate customers. It was just so much. It was
good. Genuine Magic was getting a good name for itself. Like you were.
It was.
There's a lot of people that actually use your products, but I mean,
yeah.
You don't really do it anymore.
Because one thing that you taught me was time management, and I was putting a lot of time into chatting to people, promoting it, a day of doing the postage and all this, where that could have been, you know, I could have spent them hours getting one gig that would be the same as selling so many wallets. And that's kind of where it came to, as I started focusing on, started not pushing the lever, started focusing on the magic, the business side of magic, and then realized I get more money out of focusing on the business side of magic than I do running to the post office, promoting my products, nipping to pick up a leather wallet, posting it back out. You know, a lot of people just asking questions. Can you make these alterations? And then you go, yes. And they go, oh, I've changed my mind. You're like, what the hell? Do you know what I mean? So, which is fair enough, but that's just not my business. Yeah, I mean, it's just, that's not me. I just want to trick somebody into thinking I've been doing magic all my life and going to wow them at a wedding. So...
Absolutely.
Always look successful.
So, I mean,
yeah.
I don't want to, I'm going to be very careful how I say this. Having worked with you, because for those people that don't know, you're a gold member of the Netrix and have been mm-hmm. for a while now. So I've been mentoring you behind the scenes on various different things as you work under my company. So knowing you as well as I do, you mentioned time management. You do get distracted with projects. I think it's an important thing for people to listen to, because I speak to a lot of people that are new into magic and they want to be full time. And they go, right, okay, so I'm going to create this magic trick and put it on the Penguin Partner Program. And I'm going to go and get gigs, and I'm going to go and get restaurants, and I'm going to do a stage show, and I'm going to do a theatre show, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do the other. And they end up doing all of this, and rather than doing one or two things really well, they end up doing lots of things, flapping and running around, and they don't really achieve much.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that's you, because you're actually quite.
It was though.
Yeah, I mean, can you talk about that very quickly?
Yeah. So it came to a point where it showed when I was messing around with the lever, and then I was trying to put a show together, then I was just doing other little, I can't, there was other stuff there, trying to start up my own kids' entertainment company.
Oh yeah, I remember that one. That was.
We'll go there.
That was a really good idea, wasn't it, Thomas? Yeah, I remember that one.
But no, that was just foolish. That was naivety. So I'm just trying to do everything, because I'm like, oh, eggs in, and don't keep all your eggs in one basket. But then again, don't throw them all out in the garden. Do you know what I mean? So I was doing a lot, but then things were sacrificing. And then I looked at where my money was coming from, and it was all just coming from you. Yeah, all this stuff that I was doing was draining money and not building. And I was literally relying on your wages. Do you know what I mean? It was like, oh. So then I thought, this needs to change. And then, you know, spoke to you in the office, we started sorting it out. And then, you know, you said you're spinning too many plates. You gave me the story when lockdown happened. You had to go into like survival mode. Then you focused everything on non-stop kids. You got that back up and running better than ever. So you said, Tom, you need to niche down. You need to find what you're good at. You need to do that, do what you want. And that's what I did. I niched everything down. I think, would it have been like the middle of last year, I started niching down. And I niched down into the wedding market. I niched down to Derbyshire wedding magician. And that's what I did. Derbyshire wedding magician. And then all of a sudden that just started, you know, with, you know, going to, you know, going to the SEO and stuff and all that sort of stuff. But that you, That's all on your Netflix anyway. But yeah, just nailed down on that. You know, started every morning going to my wife owns a cafe, and not owns, works at a cafe. Works at a cafe. She's a manager there. As manager at a cafe, I used to go there to work with her. I used to sit at the cafe with my laptop, business, every day, and then just focusing on that instead of running to the leather shop, running to this and running to do that. Just focused on, you know, optimized my website as best I could. I've not still not spent a penny. Optimized my website, optimized things, doing the best I can. But also kind of I've got I'm like a bit ethical as well. So like I'm not trying to backdoor into anybody's things now. You know what I mean? I'm nailing down on Derbyshire, them sort of areas. And it's coming, you know, you don't need to try and cast your net all over England. So I'm niching down, which it still comes to you. Do you know what I mean? I did a gig in Edinburgh and that came about because, you know, there's people that go to weddings in Derbyshire that live in Edinburgh. Do you know what I mean? So that happens, you know. Don't book a wedding in Edinburgh for an hour in December, especially when you work for Craig. The
Yeah,
nightmare.
I could have told you
Yeah.
that.
But yeah, no, and you know, I focus more on, you know, just my own business side. And but then it's also the great thing about working for you is it gives you that security blanket of being able to stick to your prices, follow the blueprint of, you know, the sales technique, and not worry, because if I don't get this gig, you'll fill my calendar anyway. So that's if anybody that and you know, so like I'm not keeping all my eggs in one basket because I'm keeping my eggs in Nonstop Kids, slightly unusual, and my own stuff. But you know, I don't have to worry about your side things because your office are doing all that for me, so that's great. And also, just being present in the office, you know what I mean? It's try and get your name called out in the office as much as you can. That's what I found. When our early days of working for you is, you know, I want to be like, oh, let's get Tom on it. Let's get Tom on it. And you know, I think that still goes on, which is quite nice. And I just always pop it in. You know, I think Matt and Liz have got pictures of me on their computer screens, so
They
just
have.
they don't forget me. But yeah, no, it's just been a nice, pleasant person. It's just being like when you call, yeah, I can do it. Yeah, sure, yeah. Yeah, you know, yeah, you can say no, and I do say no, but if you can do it, do it. Do you know what I mean? You know, it's, you
The
know.
other thing that you've done that I think that is very important, and it's the thing that a lot of magicians don't do, two things. One, you've educated yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and you've done that throughout, learning how to design websites, learning how to do SEO. Yeah, a lot of the information is there on the Netflix, but you have to take the time to sit there and learn it and do
Yeah.
it. But you've educated yourself and you've trained yourself to be able to do this sort of stuff. But then the
Yeah, yeah. It
other
lapses. It lapses, like with anybody. So you have to give yourself a kick up the bum. But like the best advice that you gave me is like get yourself out of the house. You know, I used to treat nipping to the. You said to me, find somewhere that has refillable coffee, and just 9 to 5 it. That's your office. And that's the best advice I had because if I don't leave the house, I won't do anything. You know, I've not left the house there. I've just been tinkering around with magic tricks. Wife's told me put washing on, waiting for a package. If I say, no, I'm working today. Like, and also, like, with my wife, just say, look, you've got to treat this as I'm going to work as well. So you can't say, do this around the house, do this around the house. Just act that I'm at work. Do you know what I mean? And kind of have that, treat it like you've got to get up, you've got to go to work. Do you know what I mean? Because it's quite easy to slip into the stay in my pajamas. You know what I mean? Doss around the house. Do you know what I mean? I'll learn a card trick or two. I might do that. I might do that. Oh, what's that, Alakazam? Do you know what I mean? This is the advice that you gave me. So just get yourself out, get dressed, get yourself out of the house, get your routine going. And yeah, and it works. You know, it's quite surprising giving it a fortnight of just sticking to that routine, and it becomes so at the computer, but you'll see a difference. And the more you do, it's just like, you know, the more you do, the more you actually get it back. It's it's very rewarding. And you feel like you've earned it as well. You know what I mean? Don't wait for the phone to ring, because it really won't ring. Don't wait for that inquiry to drop into your box. You know what I mean? It won't. You've got to go and find it.
Well, you've got to make it happen, haven't you? You know,
there's
people in the world. There's people that watch things happen, and there's people that make things happen. And
yeah.
You have very much become a person that makes things happen. And I think your work is a big part of that. You know, you're tracking everything. You're treating your business like you know, you're on top of all of this stuff, and that's so important.
Yeah, tracking. I never thought to track things. I think the day when I first got into it, when you said, "So, how many inquiries you had this week?" and I went, "Oh, do you know what I mean?" And then you was like, "Well, you're on the right." And then that's it. And then that was another thing. You told me, you know, you need to get a basic spreadsheet, and I kind of went over the top and went, I just learned how to do spreadsheets. I made graphs and everything. And it's so good seeing it. It's like a game. Do you know what I mean? The inquiries coming in, what you converted, color coded it. It's great. And that's kind of a reward on its own. You see it as a numbers game. You don't see it, you know, it's great. It's quite nice. Which I think that's where a lot of magicians fall, because you have to like business. You know what I mean? You have to like business to do it. If you don't like business, You can't just become you can't become a professional magician if you just like magic. You have to like the business side of it as well. If you don't like the business side of it, just keep magic as a hobby, you know, pocket money. That's fine. That's good. But yeah, it's you. If you want to have a decent look, because I'm having the best living I've ever had. You know what I mean? My goal is, you know, is to, you know, repay my wife from the year she had to put up with me being a skint magician. So she's getting it back now, which is quite nice. So, yeah. But now it's like just pushing myself, you know. I feel like, you know, I put a stage show together and now I'm wanting to join the illusion bit. But that's
go on.
But that's like the other thing. It's like, I wouldn't get the illusion show if I didn't push myself. So I was like pushing myself with you. Just, I want to do illusion shows. Can I come to the office and learn? You know, in my own time, you know, come and learn. Because that's the way you get it. You know, you're not going to turn around and just say, here's a box. There you go. Do you know what I mean? You've got to put that, like, think of it just an education. You know what I mean? It's a free education. You're not getting paid for it. So that's why I think of it like.
Yeah.
So.
And as somebody who's now transitioning into stage magic, which you have done, you know, obviously you've gone from close up, carrying on doing close up to kids, and now from kids you're doing stage magic. Forget about the illusion shows, because you've literally just started and you just went to watch your first one yesterday.
Yeah.
But you are putting a cabaret show together. You've done a cabaret a couple of times.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've just booked a holiday park contract in.
Which is
great. But what advice would you give somebody who's wanting, because that's the thing that a lot of close-up magicians want to do. They want to go from close-up to stage, you know, and there is a reason for that. And I totally understand that. And one of the reasons is, A, I personally think it's cooler being on stage than doing close-up, as much as I love close-up.
Yeah.
And I do. You were watching me do close-up last night. I love close-up. But
yeah,
I prefer stage. And I think you're treated with a bit more respect when you do
stage. Oh, yeah, yeah. That when I went yesterday with you, it was just nice going to a gig where you felt like the act, they're here, important, you know, VIP. Not like in like a big headed way. It's just, you know, it's, you know, you're not this bumbling magician. Oh, can I put my case behind the bar? Oh, thanks. Do you know what I mean? It's like, there's a stage, you've got that room there, you got this, you know, it's you know, you got the DJ coming up, people helping you out. Like, you had the DJ coming up to you and going, giving you advice. Do you know what I mean? And you got the sound guy. It was just all like, they were running around you. You weren't trying to dodge them, which I find as a close-up magician, it is kind of like that. It's like, you're the most unimportant person in the room. Do you know what I mean? But being the headlining act of a corporate show that you were doing yesterday, they want to make your life easy. They want to help you. Do you know what I mean? Because that's what everyone's there for. Which it was lovely feeling like that at a gig, instead of being like, yes, I'll do that. Yes, I'll do that. Do you know what I mean? Which is quite nice, yeah.
And you do get that stage magician. You're treated with a bit more respect. You know, it's like, there's the disabled toilets. Go change in there, right? You know, oh, no, you've got a green room and eat anything you want to. You know, it's very
Well, that's it, wasn't it? It's like, not in like a big-headed kind of way, not like a prima donna kind of way, but it was just like, it was, you know, it's, you know, you're part of the staff, you know, everyone's there to help you out. You know what I mean? You're part of the team when you get there. It's quite nice. But yeah, no, it is good. But then again, with kids' parties, you get that feeling at kids' parties anyway.
You do.
When you go to a kids' party, that kids' party is going to be nothing without you. So, there's a table. There's what? Anything else? Do you want a cup of tea? Yeah, it's the same as a kids' party, really, but on a bigger scale.
Yeah.
So, but my advice would be, if you want to do stage magic, just do kids' parties. You know, I road test a lot of my stuff that's age appropriate. You know, the reason I'm doing Vanishing Bottle in my kids show is because I want to get it the best it can be in my grown up show. I do the whisk trick, cue the magic. Yeah, I do a lot of things that I want to road test on kids. They're the best people. They'll tell you if you're wrong. Do you know, they'll tell you if it's crap as well, which is good. And also, if I got that, typically when you have a kids' party anyway, you get about 15 minutes food break. So I always try and get the things that are supposed to get done in my break done before I start my show. So if I've got something I want to work on, which is close up, I mingle with the adults and say, you want to see something else? And then that's another thing you can do. But, you know, you get, if you think your compliments are good when you do a close up gig after you've entertained 30 children and you're getting all them parents got, you know, it's the compliments and the reviews that you get are mental, you know, if you're such a good ego trip, because they look at it and they go, how the hell did you do that? Do you know what I mean? It's crazy. And it's, you know, it's your formula that works. So magicians just need to do kids shows. I don't understand why they don't do it. Kids shows. You know, it's there's more work out there. There's a lot more work out there if you do kids shows, and you got to think, you know, also when you're doing kids shows, a lot of the times when I do kids shows, it's like, oh, do you do other stuff? And you get that anyway. Do you know what I mean? And then I have to put them into slightly unusual. So it's more work too. No, I'm only joking. No, it's like, so you get kids shows, everything works. You do kids shows. That doesn't I don't think that tarnishes you being a magician. You know what I mean? So you do kids shows, they've seen what you can do. And also they see that you're not Mr. Tumble. You're showing a skill. You're showing the magic. The magic's still strong. As long as the magic's still strong, you know, and you've got that performance and you're dominating the room and you're getting adults clapping as well, they're going to want to book you anyway. Do you know what I mean? Is it just kids shows you do? No. It's slightly unusual. They do illusions, they do everything, you know, that sort of thing. But just ask for Tom. That's what I say to him. Ask for Tom. Doing kids shows, there's no downside to doing kids shows apart from you not being able to do it. And I think it's a good excuse for not being able to perform to children. And I think that's what it is. I don't think that people are better than children. I think they're scared of children, which is hard. It's hard. But once you've got
the thing with kids is they're honest. You can go and do a cabaret show, and the adults will sit there and, you know, they'll do whatever. You know, they'll sit there quietly and go, oh, that was very nice. Depending on how drunk they are. But with kids, if you're not very good and they perceive you as not being very good, they're just going to stand up and walk off. Or they're going to tell you you're rubbish. You know, either way, they're going to be completely honest with you. So, you know.
But once you've got it down, it's not going to happen. You know what I mean? It's all about the warm-up. Do you know what I mean?
So. And very quickly, I've watched you, talking about close-up. You've been doing close-up now for a long time. And I've worked with you at two or three events. Last night, I saw you doing close-up magic again. And you're very, very good. And one thing that a lot of close-up magicians struggle with is getting a reaction from the audience. We were doing tables last night, banquet tables. And you were getting great reactions. I mean, do you have any advice on generating reactions?
Tell them to react. Tell them
Okay.
to react. That's literally it. It's the same as kids shows. It's all about the warm-up. It's telling them. People don't know if they're supposed to, I think. So start off with a gag. I always go, if this is your card, would you be impressed? I turn it over. That is my card. And I go, typically when people are impressed, they do tend to clap. And then they start clapping. They go, oh, no, I'm too modest. No. But no, when you do it this time, they're all going to go crazy for you, I promise you. So you're telling them, but not telling them. Tell them. It's people aren't, you've got to build it up. Your energy is what's going to build up their energy and then tell them to do it. Do you know what I mean? And even if you tell them to do it, if they don't want to clap, they're not going to clap anyway. But they need that cue. That cue. Like you were the master of it last night. It's just like, I thought I was good, but you turned that side of the room into Americans. Do you
But
know what
all
I mean?
that is just I've been doing this for a very long time. And it you know how to read a table. You know you can identify when you walk over to the table, you need to identify the people that are quieter, the people that are more reserved, you need to put them at ease. You need to, and it's about involving everybody, but taking particular people and kind of bringing their energy up as well. It's just experience is all it is.
And one thing that I learned last night was when you were doing the close-up, you're sniffing out the people that are going to come up on stage, which is quite nice, or the people that you're going to gag with.
Yeah.
And that's quite cool. I like that. I like that. But yeah, no, it's because I used to, it's hard. Like, it's hard to know what it used to be like because I never used to be this good, if I could say that about myself. But yeah, I used to struggle. I used to be like, why isn't this working? There's one trick I've just never been able to get the reactions with, and it's Back in Time by Jay Sankey. I love that trick. I absolutely love it, and I perform it, and it just doesn't work for me. So sometimes there's a point where you just gotta go, I just don't know why. It don't work for me. But Silver Scepter. No joke. No, it's it's just finding what works for you. Do you know what I mean? It's like, as much as I kind of like doing the mentalism, it didn't work for me with reactions. Do you
Yeah.
know what I mean? I just couldn't do it. I like men. I say I like mental magic. I like mental magic. That's what, I think, I love Witch Hunt. But no, I'd also say that the thing about getting the reactions is turning the spectator into the star, because everybody's going to make them feel awesome, especially if it's a kid. You do a trick where it looks like, and you made the kid the magician, that kid's gonna have a massive smile on their face, and then you go, give it up for the amazing Timothy, then they're all gonna clap for him. Do you know what I mean? It's easy. It's easy when you know how. It's easy when you know how.
But again, what you're talking about here just comes down to flight time.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's it. It's like what I was telling you the other day. When you told Ryland to show me that thing that he was, the act that he was doing, and he just switched it on and just did that little segment from his act, then turned it back off and then went back on his Game Boy.
Yep.
And I'm like, what? He just went into show mode, did it, then sat back down. All right. I'm just like, and that's flight time. You can just
It is.
switch it on
Well,
and enjoy it
that's the
and do
thing
it.
with Ryland. I know he's only 11, but he's performed on stage since he was three. He's had more stage experience on more stages than the most professional magicians.
And it shows it, yeah, it shows. It's gonna take over the world. That Ryland's a good example of flight time, and it's cool. It's cool. So,
and also, well, I'm going to ask you one more question. What about nerves? How do you deal with nerves? Because that's the thing that a lot of people ask me on this channel. And you put yourself, bearing in mind, you've only been doing this since lockdown. And, you know, you put yourself into so many uncomfortable positions in terms of close-up, you know, stage shows, kids shows, family shows. Now you're doing holiday parks. You're going to be doing illusion shows. You know, you see people, you know, you saw me and Matt doing the show last night.
Yeah.
And neither one of us were nerves at all. You didn't see nerves. But it was a room of 150 people.
Yeah.
And we were doing our show. You look at Ryland walking out on the Winter Gardens in front of a couple of thousand magicians and not being nerves. But then, you know, is that flight time? Is that experience?
That is flight time. That's definitely flight time. But nerves aren't a bad thing. In the earlier days when I had nerves, the first time I didn't have nerves, like a few years, like whenever it was, first day I didn't have nerves, I had a really bad time performing. Ooh. So nerves can be a good thing. It makes you be good. And I think the nerves are always there, but you suppress them anyway. You know what I mean? You just don't worry about your nerves. Turn your nerves into excitement. You know what I mean? And that's kind of it. It's there. But yeah, it's just like it's just flight time, isn't it? It's you know, it's yeah. Like I used to be that nervous. I used to get to a gig like well in advance, well, you know, just not want another gig all day. Do you know what I mean? And then it comes to the point where you go, you don't worry you anymore. I don't know. It is flight time, and then at some point it'll just click, and you won't be nervous anymore. Do you know what I mean? I think that's just it. It's just flight time. You do it enough times. You know all you've made all your mistakes and you know how to recover from your mistakes. And you know what happens when you mistakes, which tends to be nothing. Nothing tends to happen. Because and the biggest thing you told me is don't hide behind your tricks. Hide behind your tricks. There's nothing left. So if your trick fails, what's left?
Well, exactly. That's it.
Yeah.
You used to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when especially with the kids shows, you said you're hiding behind your tricks, and so then you know, and I think that's mainly because people put more focus into the tricks than they do actually the presentation, the chat, and just being a human. You know. Yeah, just, you know, just be entertaining. I class myself more as an entertainer than a magician anyway. I'm there to entertain, and the magic is coming along with me. Do you know what I mean? That's kind of what it is.
Great attitude, Tom.
Yeah.
One last question, and this has been an incredible interview. I've really enjoyed this, but one last question. What's your goals moving forward? Because you've achieved so much in a very short period of time. You are a full-time magician, you're doing stage, you're learning illusion shows, close-up kids, you work for Slightly Unusual Non-Stop Kids, but you've got your own website, which generates a lot of work as well. What goals do you have? I know you mentioned earlier on talking about Holly, but any other goals? Are you wanting to be a creator? Are you wanting, like, what are you wanting to bring genuine magic back? What are your goals in terms of going out and performing? Do you have a dream gig that you want to do? Like, tell me a little bit about your goal, because I know you are quite goal driven.
One of them's a bear pit. That's one that I want to do. That's a bit of a shit that, you know. But I know my goal is just to flourish, do you know what I mean? Just flourish with what's happening, you know what I mean? I'm really, really content right now, do you know what I mean? It's, you know, it's, I make a living about something what I love doing, do you know what I mean? It's, but yeah, my long-term goal with making it so Holly doesn't have to work. Not that she doesn't want to work, it's like, my job is, I just want to be able to go, magic is, you know, That sort of thing. So her Holly doesn't have to work and she can do what she wants to do, which would be nice for her. That's always been at the back of my mind. Do you know what I mean? It's I've You know, I've turned into mucking around with pieces of paper, turning them over as a career. So let Holly, my wife, Holly, turn her hobby into whatever she wants to do. You know what I mean? So that's the goal. I'm quite content where I am, and it can only get better the more I work, right? So creating doesn't really, it kind of appealed to me, but I think that was just more the ego in me. Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean? I created this, and it's like, so I've been there, done it. Yeah, it's hard work, don't make much money, move on. But yeah, no, it's just carrying on. I just want to be that family entertainer, everybody wants to book. That's what I want to be. That's it. That family entertainer that everybody wants to book. Do you know what I mean? That's it. So,
great goal. That's a great goal. And if you could give people that are wanting to become full-time or part-time or semi-pro, if you could give them three pieces of advice to finish this interview. Three pieces of advice. We've got people that are listening to this, and they're either, you know, they're wanting to start making money from magic, or they're wanting to go pro, or they've just started making money from magic, but they want to do better. As somebody who's been there, done that, and bought the t-shirt, and you're relatively new into your journey, what three pieces of advice can you give?
If they want to make money out of it, is if they're already a magician, you've already got the tricks, forget about the tricks. Go out, perform them tricks in public, get flight time, do loads of free gigs. So go and do loads of free gigs, get the photographs, build a decent website that has the product that people want to buy. And the product that people want to buy is brides and grooms smiling. Do you know what I mean? Guests smiling, or whatever it is you want to do. You're not the product. The person's the product. What the, you know, Drew Perry gave me some good advice. Is like, you know, you've got to find out what the customer wants. They might not know what they want, but you've got to find out what they want. Do you know what I mean? So flight time. Don't have to be the best website, but it has to be what they want to see on the website, and build your SEO. You know, flight time, website, build your SEO, which it's all there on the internet. Everything's there on the internet for free. Do you know what I mean? Flight time. I'd say that's the biggest thing. Flight time, free gigs, you know, keep doing free gigs. You know, I still do free gigs. You know what I mean? If I've got nothing better to do, I'll do a free gig. I love performing magic. So, it's not easy. The business side of it's not easy. The magic's easy. Magic's easy. The business side of it the business side of it is easy. It just takes time. You know what I mean? You need to put the time in. Anybody can do it. Yeah, I mean, you've just got to put the time into it. And just be good at time management. So, yeah. So, I'd say flight time. I'd say that flight time and assets, that's what you need. Flight time and assets. Yeah.
Definitely. And I have to give a shout out before we finish this interview to your social media. It's only a few months ago that you started doing Instagram and Facebook properly as a magician. And, you know, I said to you, you need to start doing more social media, you know, and you were like, okay. And your Instagram videos are just truly unique. I've never seen anyone else. And I know if you talk about never giving up, social media is hard. I remember when I first started doing YouTube, I put videos out and get like one view or two views. A lot of people then end up quitting and not bothering. You've been going at it for a little while now, and you're building up an audience, which is great. But anybody watching this, subscribe to Thomas Maloney on Instagram and Facebook, because your video is hilarious. You're not just sitting there to camera doing magic. a lot of the time you're involving your kids, you're involving Holly, you've got that personal touch in the videos, and I think they're the sort of things that magicians would watch and find funny, but also prospective clients that watch your videos, you will become so endearing to them
because
he's a family man, he's getting his kids involved, he's a good dad, whatever it may be, but they're also funny as hell. And you know, you've got that little catchphrase, you know, is it on? It's just the whole thing is just
that's it. It's you know, you just do within your strengths, don't you? I'm not the best. I'm no Instagram, I can't do, you know, Instagram stuff. You know, I'm not an 11-year-old boy that's the cute that does awesome magic. I've got a receding hairline, and my wife hates magic tricks being performed to her, so I do it. And then that's the truth, isn't it? Strength, but that's the other thing. Digital footprint. That was what I was trying to figure. Digital footprint. Look busy. Look busy. When people inquire, you're busy. You're always busy. You know, don't be too cheap. Don't be too. You know, I always find it's like, well, why are they that cheap? I found that when I actually put the prices to what I wanted them to be, I found I started getting more work. Not crazy prices, but when I was like going, oh no, but I'll do it for 60 quid. People at the wedding a bit like, do we really want to, man? So yeah, just digital footprint, look busy. You've been doing it for years. You know, don't say, oh, it's my first gig. I want, you know, just be doing it all your life. You know what I mean? So when did you get into magic? Oh, when I was about 6. Don't tell them that I kicked the wand under the bed and decided not to do it till I was 30. But yeah. So yeah, fake it till you make it. I don't even know if that's good advice or not.
Yeah, it is. It's very good advice. Fake it till you make it. I completely agree with that. 100%. Yeah. You know, that's what I've always done my entire career. I've just said yes and worried about it afterwards. No,
we've got to. I think it was it was Russ Brown, wasn't it? Yes, just say yes. Whatever, just say yes. His lecture, and it's always been good. Can you do it? Yeah, of course I can. You've been doing it all your life? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
And then you panic about it afterwards, and you figure out, well, that's it. If we hadn't have done that, Ryland would never have gone on BGT. Because we got the phone call, you know, and we was like, yeah, what are you going to do? I don't know. He's 6. Yeah. I've got no clue. Well, you know, we've got a bit of time to figure it out. You say yes. You always say yes.
You got to, yeah. So say yes, you know, what's worse that could happen? You know, a bad review. Bad review.
I don't think you've ever had a bad review at our company, so.
No, I don't think I have.
Thomas, this has been an amazing. Thank you so much for jumping on Magic TV. Now, people want to connect with you. I also know you're one of the friendliest people that I know. So if people are watching this from around the world and they want some advice from somebody who's actually out there doing it, can they contact you?
Yeah, Facebook. Facebook's, I'd say Facebook or Instagram.
Okay, so on Instagram, you're Thomas Maloney Magician.
Instagram would be better, actually. Instagram would be better because then it'll get people traffic to my Instagram. So contact me on Instagram. You can find my phone number or anything. I'm all over the place. That's the other thing. Just try and be everywhere on the internet, you know.
So Thomas, if you wanna speak to Thomas about anything that we've spoken about, reach out to him. But honestly, as somebody who's been working with you now for a couple of years and someone who's seen you perform over and over again, and someone that sees the feedback from the gigs that you do. You're doing amazing. You're phenomenal. You're fantastic. It's unbelievable that somebody, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago wasn't even doing magic. And, you know, their idea of doing a gig was a couple of card tricks to now seeing what you were like yesterday.
Yeah.
Amazing, man. It really is. So congratulations. It's like you said to me yesterday, you're the original Matt.
I am. I'm the original
Matt, which was hilarious. You're out there, you're doing it, and you're doing it at a high level, and you should be proud. You really should.
Yeah. Thank you. And it's great work for you as well. And so thanks for having me on here.
I think that you're going to inspire a lot of people.
I hope so. Because it's so much bad. There's so much bad or pedestal information on Facebook. And I was like, you don't have to be like that. You know what I mean? It's not
There's
that.
information all the time saying you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't be a full-time professional magician. You can do anything if you want to. You've just got to put your mind to it.
Yeah,
don't let anyone tell you that you can't do something, because the only person that can stop you is you.
Yeah. It's and do kids' parties. Just do kids' parties. Don't worry about it. If look, Andy Nyman did kids' parties. Come on. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Exactly. I agree with you 100%. Thomas, thank you so much for jumping on Magic TV. I know I will see you again soon. Guys, connect with Thomas. Leave a comment down below. Let me know what you thought of the interview. I honestly believe that Thomas is one of the best kept secrets in magic, and he will help anyone to reach out to him. And one more time, Thomas, thank you very much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. Guys, on behalf of the great Thomas Maloney, thank you for checking out Magic TV. Leave a comment down below. I will be back next Saturday with another interview. And don't forget, I'll be back tomorrow on Sunday with a review show at 9 o'clock and a Q&A at 12 o'clock and a 6 o'clock at Magic Live. But I'll see you again. Thanks for watching. I'm Craig. This is Tom. And this has been Magic TV.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast.
Magic, magic.
Be
magic.
Sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel.
Magic TV.
Which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV. Or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic Podcast.